Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. See Sparky Fiber with you on a Friday afternoon. I think we've got some rain in the forecast still for the rest of the day today. And we got rain in the forecast, I believe, for tomorrow. But I think Sunday's supposed to be nice, like 83, 84, sunshine out. So that'll be nice. I don't want to bring this next dude on, man. I don't want to talk about this. But you know what, though? Since I know, I am going to just absolutely go crazy on this one. I'm fully prepared. Fully prepared. I have questions, though. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is the one and only Andrew Widener, Forbes Sports Brewers writer, presented to you by Focus Baseball. Follow them online at Focus Baseball 1. Go for all their July tryout dates and times right now at FocusBaseball.com. Starting at age 6 and up through high school, FocusBaseball.com. Check out their July tryout dates today. Follow Mr. Widener on Twitter at @ByAndrewWidener. So you were listening. Appreciate you. And we were talking about Jeff Supon trying to be in the Hall of Very Good. And you texted me and said, no Supon slander. By all means, take the floor.
So here's the thing. Number one, the whole Hall of Very Good thing. If you take away, like, his Brewers years, and, like, I think he pitched one more season after that, he was a very good pitcher.
Yeah, take out half of his career. He was pretty good. What do you mean?
Anyway, he was, and I've talked to Mark Ottanasio about this. I've talked to players from that era about this. I've talked to a lot of people. It was probably the most significant signing for Mark Ottanasio early on, and maybe overall, because it was a huge PR move more than it was anything. And I'm not big on making free agent signings for PR purposes. You know, we've all established this. But go back to where the Brewers were in 2005 when they signed Jeff Supon. Okay? Or was it Christmas 2005 or 2006? I can't remember. No help there. Okay. Anyway.
Go ahead. I'm just waiting for you to get done. It doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to get my nature. So Mark Ottanasio, new owner, takes over, promises things are going to be different from the C-League years, all this stuff. I'm going to build a winner, young prospects coming up, all this stuff. And the first question he was asked in his introductory press conference was, are you going to raise the payroll? Are you going to sign free agents? Yes, yes, yes. It's one thing to say it, as the Pittsburgh Pirates have proven. It's another thing to actually go out and do it. And through no fault of his own, Supon was the most attractive, most whatever free agent pitcher on the free agent market that winter.
Because he had a good postseason, yes.
Because he had a good postseason, yes. The Brewers desperately needed a veteran pitcher to anchor their rotation. They desperately needed a veteran guy that had, you know, championship playoff pedigree to come into a locker room full of young dudes. The Brewers, Mark Ottanasio, needed to show the fans that he was going to sign people, like spend money, which is unheard of after the C-League years. But even beyond that, he also had to show agents and other players that Milwaukee wasn't a toilet and a wasteland. He had to show agents and players, not only are we going to pay you, are we going to sign these along, we're going to treat you world class. Come see how we're doing it here. And then Supon, they got a guy who was highly regarded all across baseball in every clubhouse. Like, say what you want about the guy on the field, he was highly regarded as a person and a player, as a mentor, and all that stuff. So Supon checked a couple of boxes and basically told the fans, told agents and players that the Brewers are serious, we're going to spend money, we're going to do it right. Now, you knew, and you touched on this, and this is what brought it up. You knew at the time, because of who the Brewers were, you were always going to have to give the extra year, and
yep,
you were always going to have to overpay.
Exactly.
That was just the price of doing business.
Correct.
And Mark was willing to do that. You knew the last 2 years of that deal were going to be horrible. Like, you knew going in. You knew that you were going to get one, maybe two good years out of them, and the rest were going to be bad. But you needed the goodwill. You needed the PR. And if you still want to gripe about how bad he was, just remember this. No matter how good CC Sabathia was in 2008, the Brewers don't get in the postseason without Jeff Supon going like 5-0 in August.
We're going to put up a poll question. Charlie, we're going to put up a poll question. When we say Jeff Suppan, do you think of more good memories or bad memories?
Well, of course, everyone's going to think of Soup Pitch Great, and they're going to think of the end of it.
What, wait. They're going to think of
Soup Pitch Great.
That's what they're going to think
Soup
of?
Soup Pitch Great.
Yeah. That's what they're going to... Don't worry. I've got like 10 versions of this Soup Pitch Great we're going to do after you're done. I don't want to waste all of our time, you and me, talking about this. But yes, that is the one thing that everybody is going to remember, is that Soup Pitch Great. Don't do that poll question, Charlie. I was just giving Wagner a hard time.
Which I think is ridiculous. That's the only thing they think about him. Because, listen, the guy did a lot of good for the franchise. Yep, it turned out to be a horrible deal. But sometimes if you look back at the big picture and see everything that was going on, it makes sense.
He is Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports Brewers writer, brought to you by Focus Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Brewers making some moves earlier today. Aaron Ashby placed on the paternity list. Congratulations to him. Hope it all goes well. Tobias Myers recalled from AAA Nashville, Mr. Wagner. So they're going to try and pitch this cat out of the pen. Is that what they're going to do?
Your guess is as good as mine. Haven't heard from Murphy yet today, but that was kind of a head scratcher. They're I hate to say this, but pretty good in the starting pitching department.
Yep.
So I guess they're going to try and use them in the quote unquote leverage long relief that Ashby was supposed to be used in, was only used in one time. God knows what kind of decisions are being made there. I guess that's how it's going to play out. We'll find out in about a half hour or so.
So that happened. Then Blake Perkins sent to AAA Nashville on a rehab assignment. He just talked the other day. We had that on the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Any idea how long they think he's going to be down there before he's ready? I mean, I would assume it'll be down there for a couple of weeks.
I don't think it's going to be too long because, he does have to replicate and basically ramp up. Because he didn't have a spring training, but he was taking fairly regular at bats while rehabbing in Arizona. Like, getting at bats wasn't the issue. Running and playing the field was the issue. So I don't think they're going to need that long. I don't think they're going to need him down there that long. Definitely not the full 30 days.
All right, let's talk about this Brewers and National Series coming up. I heard Mitch Nellis earlier today, Thunder, talking with Tommy Wirtz on the Mason Crosby Show, brought to you by Verizon, the number one market in Milwaukee. And he was saying, the Nationals, should be a sweep going into this weekend. I've learned my lesson over the course of time to never assume anybody is going to be swept by anybody, because there's just too much stuff going on in the game of baseball to assume a sweep at this point. But the Brewers are at a high water mark of 13 games over 500. A sweep would put them at 16. As of today, right now, they are on pace for 92 wins as we sit here currently. Do you think they win more or less than that before the season is over?
Well, we talked about this on the leadoff show. Before the season, Stupid Kurt and Jack Stern and I went out for some refreshments and fellowship, and we put it down on a napkin what we thought the outcome was going to be. They all said 80-something, and I think Kurt said missed the playoffs, Jack said wild card. I said 90-plus and the division.
So you're feeling good.
With that.
Well, this
I am. Listen, they're a good team.
Yes.
They're a good team. But going back to how you set this up, and Mitch talking sweep, like, this has all the makings of a trap series.
Yes.
It's your last series before the break. You're riding high after sweeping the Dodgers. You're feeling like you're king of the hill. You let your guard down for a second, the Nationals might come in here and stick it to you. So it's a trap series. Like, it is going in there thinking sweep is nuts. It goes back to the cliche that I say, and I know everyone gets sick of, you can't win till you win two, and you can't win two till you win one. Like, go out there and focus on winning this game, worry about the series tomorrow, and then worry about the sweep.
Okay, so, Andrew, I want to know this, because you've been taking a lot of flack online and social media about your thought that they may sign Mizorowski down for a couple of weeks to the trade deadline, then move, Nasty Nestor Cortez or Quintana or whoever, and then bring Mizorowski back up for the last couple months and the playoffs. Now, my next question is, do you think there is any chance that Quinn Priester is the guy that they use his last option to send him down?
I mean, there's always a chance, but I don't think you burn that option. I really don't.
Not for 2 months.
No. And I know everyone's going to start complaining about roster manipulation and all that stuff. This is the fact of life, and you're going to need that flexibility next year because there's no guarantee that Priester's going to come out shoving next year.
True.
You need that flexibility. You know, if people are going to lose their minds if, in fact, Mizorowski does get sent down. But listen, would you rather have him stay on schedule and be able to manage his work, manage his innings, and keep him available for a stretch run than burn him out or even worse, knock on wood, risk something catastrophic happening on a Thursday night against, yeah. I don't know, some Pittsburgh? Like, it's mind-boggling to me. Like, sometimes, like I was saying about Supon, sometimes you have to step back and look at the bigger picture.
I'm telling you.
And realize not everything is a sinister plot.
Wags, I'm telling you right now, if they do what you're saying maybe they could do, and again, it all makes sense to me. Like, the logic makes all the sense in the world. I would totally understand if that's what they would do. But I'm telling you, nationally, they will get crucified. Like, everybody on MLB Network will crucify him, ESPN. They don't ever talk about baseball. I bet you this ends up at, like, First Take or something, talking about him getting sent down. Like, it's going to be a huge national story if they send that dude to AAA.
And then Windhorst is going to chime in with how this is going to affect Giannis' future.
Yes. Giannis is part owner. We're going to blame Giannis for him getting sent down. He's part owner of the Brewers now. It's going to be Giannis' fault. Throw him under the bus on it. Priester on the mound tonight against the Nationals. And I was seeing the other day they were doing grades for the first half before the All-Star break for different teams and so forth. I got to say, as far as what I thought Justin Priester was going to be versus what he actually turned out to be, Quinn Priester, I think Whit Priester has exceeded all expectations of Brewers fans from when they traded for him.
Were I not going to visit royalty tonight, Sparky, I would come home from the ballpark.
Royalty?
Pour a giant bucket of whiskey and
Wait.
Stream all the way back in the archives Wait. And find what you said when Quinn Priester was traded to Milwaukee. Because I remember you being not pleased.
I was not happy. No, I said he's exceeded expectations. I'm happy to be wrong. But wait a second. Stop. What do you mean royalty?
Hank Williams Jr., baby.
He's still alive?
Yeah. He's headlining Harley Fest tonight. Knock on wood, weather permitted.
Makes sense. That totally makes sense. Who else is at Harley Fest?
I'm glad you asked, Sparky. I'll be going to see Old 60, Treaty Oak Revival. Charles Wesley Godwin, then Hank. Tomorrow, my all-time favorite band, Turnpike Troubadours, is one of the headliners. Stapleton is the big name at night.
Chris Stapleton.
Sierra Farrell, yeah. So
I know two people. Hank Williams Jr. and
a big hat.
I've heard of Stapleton, and I've heard of Hank Williams Jr., obviously, but the other ones I don't know. So are they all country acts at Harley?
Country rock, you know, independent, not radio country. There'll be no singing about pickup trucks and suntans this weekend, thankfully.
What are they going to be talking about? Dogs dying and their wives leaving them?
Pretty much. A lived life, even. A lived life. Working them oil fields, working them cattle. Oh, we got to be careful. I'm talking about myself too much again.
Be careful.
I don't want to anger the masses.
Yes. Andrew Wagner, former Sports Brewers writer, brought to you by Focus Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Follow Focus Baseball at Focus Baseball 1. Check out all their July tryout dates starting at age 6 and up through high school. FocusBaseball.com. Mr. Wagner, thank you so much. Enjoy your country music this weekend.
Yeehaw, my friend. Yeehaw.
No. That's how you're supposed to do it, not yeehaw. What are you? Come on.
You sounded like one of the Duke boys just there.
Yeah, well, sometimes. All right, buddy. I'll see you later. There he is, Mr. Wagner.